Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join our guest speaker with today's message.
Today, there are times that I have acted like I know more about something than I do. I don't know if anybody here deals with that, but maybe it wasn't intentional, but I'd sit there and somebody needed to tell me something, and I'd just sit there, and I needed to hear what they were saying, and I'd just nod, and, you know, kind of like some of y'all are doing right now, just... We're creatures of habit, and y'all just looking at me, and yeah, we're nodding together, and yeah, just and but I would nod and pretend like I was hearing what they were saying, and really I had every intention to. But when we were done speaking, we'd walk away, and I'd be like, "What did they just say?" If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your spouse will say something to you, and I mean they're just talking. And you're nodding and smiling and, you know, you're not paying any attention at all. But they're going and you're acting, pretending like you are. And when they get done, then you turn around and you ask a question. And she says, in my case, "Have you not heard anything I've been saying?" And you, truth is, you want to say, "Yes, babe, I've heard everything." But then you would be lying. But you had already lied before that, and that's what got you in trouble. Because you were pretending. Today's message is called pretending. And we all deal with that. We all deal with that. I mean, we have all been there. In fact, you have sat in church and pretended like you were listening to the preacher. Now, I'm starting out today with something to bring to your attention so that you don't pretend like you hear what I say today, but you actually hear it. We learned this from a very young age. When I was growing up, I had a little handgun that I would wear with a black holster that went around my waist and had silver bullets, and I had a mask, and I was the Lone Ranger. And whoever was hanging out with me was Tonto. I mean, I don't know if anybody's, but we grow up from a very early age, and I want to say today, as I am taking very good care of these things, Carson Campbell, thank you very much for your, I would have brought some of my own, but I didn't. I don't have this stuff anymore. And so anyway, I've got my rifle with an orange cap, just to make sure everybody knows this. This is pretend. This is pretend. But when you are a young man, as I once was, you could go out, and I'm telling you, I was the best shot this side of Hurley, Missouri. When I grew up, I mean, some of this stuff right here, I was playing with this first service, and I was getting into it, and these have air brakes, and when it stops, it goes, and then it goes, you know, the brakes go out. You have to have all the sound effects as you're pretending. And then the truck would go up and all this. And this thing starts making a sound. I don't know if you knew that, Carson, but it's the real deal right there. And then here's the other thing that's really cool. I was in our neighborhood, I was the doctor for our neighborhood. So for any of you that had an ailment, they would come to me, and I had my, what do they call these? Stethoscope. Yeah. And I could tell if they were still alive. By here and right here, I could look into their brain with this. I wasn't a big fan of shots, and still I am not a fan of them, but I could minister them well. And this one is missing one crucial element to a doctor's kit, and it was the hammer, you know, that's in there. And I know why it's missing it. Because if there's two kids in any home and you have a doctor's kit, your favorite thing is the hammer. I had two brothers. And so... you have a lot of fun with a hammer. It was the first thing to always disappear because mom made it disappear. But the doctor's kits, for those of you that are entrepreneurs and looking to invest in something, doctor's kits would be a good thing. This is a little side note. I just was reading because I like a lot of useless information. But they don't use doctor's kits in today's age. Doctors don't use it. See, they quit in the 1980s, just some useless information. They quit, and so they quit doing it, and so they don't go make house calls anymore with bags. They quit that in the 80s. Did y'all know that? Some of you are like, yeah, I've never heard of a doctor making. That shows your age. But they used to go to make house calls. But I was wondering, why do they still sell doctor's kits if they don't use them anymore? Because there's a bunch of older people who remembered when they did, and they're buying them for their grandkids. I would be one of them. I found out, my kids are both out of high school. My oldest one's married 2 years now. They're both in the ministry there where we're at. My youngest is in Leaders Academy in Southwest Missouri. And they blessed us with some knowledge last month, my oldest and her husband, that we are now going to be grandparents. So, yeah. So, I'm investing in doctor's kits. I'm going to buy one, and because I think that I've got this figured out, I'm going to buy one and leave it in the box. Paul Kern was sharing with me those become valuable one day. And so since they're not going to be selling them anymore because they don't use doctor's kits, you might want to invest in some doctors. Just a little side note, useless information, that's what sometimes pastors are good for. So, but you're smiling and nodding, so you're right there with me. I love it. I love it. You know, we grow up from a very early age, and we do a lot of pretending. And right now, because of the season of life that I am now entering and I'm loving, and I've watched Tim and Terry in this for a while, and a lot of other people that are our grandparents, you know, you start out life pretending, and then you get to an age, and you start it again because of grandkids. And so I wanted to feel at home this morning, so I had to get some toys on stage. I just, to prove what I'm talking about, pretending is a really cool deal. Isn't it? I mean, just to pretend you're something. Well, I looked up the word, and here's what it says. It means to speak and act as to make it appear that something is the case when in fact it is not. Let me read pretend again. It's to speak and act so as to make it appear that something is the case when in fact it is not. As a child, we learn that, and it's a good thing. Because it builds vision, it plants an excitement for our future, what we want to do, ride a horse one day, and so I ride my stick. You know, I mean, when I'm young and I'm going to ride that until finally then I get a horse I can get on and I'm excited about it because there's a vision that was planted in me and I'm thrilled and I'm thrilled. So when young people, I pretended to go around and shoot the big deer. Now I have the big deer hanging on my wall for real. See, I just pretending plants something in you, right? I mean, as a child. But here's the thing. I looked up another word that's very close to pretending, and here's its definition. To do or speak something that misleads or deceives. That's the definition for a lie. Do you know you can kind of interchange these? To pretend would be to lie. What's the difference in the two? Age. I mean, really, I was looking at this and I was thinking about it, and really this whole sermon was downloaded into me because my grandfather, who some of you may have met or known if you've been to Missouri, or for years he was able to come down here. In fact, just a couple years ago, he toured all of Israel with us as Tim and Terry hosted a trip, and some of the folks from this church were a part of that, and we had just a ball going all over Israel with my grandfather. He's kind of my spiritual hero. I mean, he just operates according to the word of God. Well, he's 94 years old. And in June, he'll be 95. And so he's had a few health issues over the past 6 months. And for right now, for those of you who are wondering, he's got a good bill of health right now. He's doing good. And Michelle and I have taken care of him, and he's been a part of our ministry for years. And I love my grandfather. He's the coolest guy you'd ever meet. Well, he was in a nursing facility. And I am one of the caretakers for my grandfather. At his age, he needs somebody sometimes that can hear because he has a difficult time hearing sometimes. And so I can hear what the doctor's saying, what the nurse is saying. Well, he's in this skilled nursing facility getting his strength back so he can go home. Well, if you've ever cared for anybody that's in a hospital or a nursing facility, somehow there's a truth to this statement that close family is more aware sometimes of what's going on than the nurses or the doctors are. And it's not that the nurses or doctors don't care, but they've got 17 people they're caring for, and you've got one you're concerned with. And I realized that, and I was sitting there, but I thought some of them weren't quite doing the job that other ones were. And when I start seeing that, I don't just sit there and talk about it, I take action. And so I went and met with the head of nursing for the skilled nursing facility. And we sat down and I started talking about his hemoglobin levels, his oxygen levels. I started talking about all the things he was dealing with, the injury he had to his spleen. He's in a third stage of a situation with his kidney. And I was talking some words and using the different terminology that they all use. And she said, "You're very knowledgeable." I said, "Thank you." She kind of just sitting there, she goes, "Have you had training? Are you a nurse?" And right then, this whole sermon was downloaded into me because I thought, I could pretend right now. And I might get a little more accomplished by pretending to be something that I'm not. But then I thought, no, that's not the Christian response. Now, if I was five, that'd be kind of cool. But the difference between a five-year-old pretending and an adult pretending is we know the difference. When a child's pretending and when an adult pretends, sometimes you don't. Now, eventually, you'll find out if they continue in that pattern. But I kept my mouth shut and I thought, okay, I'm not a nurse. I've just been around my grandfather for several months and around a lot of doctors and nurses. And I've been around them, and in being around them, I know how to talk like them. I know how to use some of the words that they use. I can kind of get by, like I know what I'm talking about. Y'all hearing where I'm headed here? See, we have too many Christians pretending to be something they're not. And if you've been in this vision any length of time, you will hear Pastor Tim, you will hear one of the other pastors on staff here make the comment that we have 80% of America checking the Christian box. And then we're seeing what's happening in our great country. We're seeing what's happening on the news. We're seeing what's happening with who is getting voted into office. And we've got to ask the question, who's pretending? Who's pretending here? Pastor, why would you say that? Because I'm not seeing the fruit that Christianity produces. I was so mad a few years ago when our president said we are no longer a Christian nation. I don't know if you remember that statement that was made across the news. In fact, I got up and I talked about it. I talked about it to people I was in my circle. And can you believe he said that? And you know, as I look back on that, how frustrated I was, is I thought he was lying. But I look back now and I realize, you know what? There may have been some truth in what he was saying. Because a true Christian nation operates different than we're operating. And I mean, it's a different scenario. And here's my concern today and why I'm preaching this. Because you might say, well, you're talking to a church where nobody's pretending. No, I'm talking to a church that every one of us is being threatened daily with the devil trying to talk us into pretending in some area. And I was talking to Hetty this morning and she said, you know, it's not about, we're not preaching this morning to a lost and dying world. We're preaching to the church. We're talking to the church. And the problem is we can't really get the lost. We've got to keep the church, the world's falling apart, I understand that. But we can't let the church fall apart in the midst of the world falling apart, or there is no hope. And that's why our vision this year has got to be about Jesus as Lord, so we quit just getting a bunch of people signing up and then pretending to operate in something that they're not trained to operate in. When you're in church on Sunday morning, you're getting trained, you're getting empowered, you're getting equipped to go out and be the church in this world. And with that, you can't go out and pretend to be. How would you like to have a pretend doctor walk in when you get diagnosed with something? Yeah. Pastor, I don't know if you... Now, I am concerned when I know someone's a Christian and then I'm embarrassed to ask them to pray. Why should you be embarrassed to ask somebody who knows Jesus and knows the only way that we can get to the Father God is because of what Jesus did on the cross for our sins, and we have someone who now has bridged that gap and we have direct access to the Father, and they say, would you pray? Well, I'm not, I just don't really feel comfortable. You don't feel comfortable? Are you pretending? Are you pretending? I mean, come on, we got work to do as the church, and we can't be pretending. We got to be the real deal. So what do? You know, we identify the problem, and oftentimes in our realm of Christianity, we'll identify a problem, and then we don't give the solution. We've got to, as the church, have the solution. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child does. When I was a child, I spoke, I pretended, When I was a child, these are all the things that I did as a child. But when I grew up, when I became a man, when I became mature, a lot of different translations say different things there. The Bible says, I quit pretending. I put away childish things. I quit. I didn't do that anymore until I became a grandpa. But no, I mean, I put away childish things when I'm talking about the things of God. See, there was a time when I was a child that I would get up, and my mama tells this story, and I will tell it on her behalf today, that I would get up and I would put a bunch of cans out of the refrigerator or out of the kitchen. I'd put them on the floor and I'd build me a stage. And I'd stand up there and I'd say, you today need to receive the Holy Spirit. I was pretending to be a preacher. What if I was still pretending? See, as a child, it's cute. But as an adult, we've got to get to the place where we can't pretend about the things of God anymore. There's a world out there that needs to see him. And you're his representative. You represent, you represent Christ. Day in and day out by how you're living. Or the question this morning is, do you? Here's the thing. Pretending might be okay for a short season, but when you pretend as an adult for so long and then you're found out, the ball's dropped and the cause of Christ is hurt. When the ball is dropped and all of a sudden they realize you're not the real deal, then we elect the wrong president. See, when the ball's dropped, because all you did was sign up but didn't daily get in your word and grow in the things of God and the knowledge of God, then you're not able to represent him. You just saw him and said, I kind of like that. I kind of like heaven. So I'll make him Savior, but missing out on the Lordship. So all of this just plays into exactly what we're talking about this whole year. Oftentimes we're pretending, and there are areas that we're acting on that we got to shape up. And I could talk about a whole bunch of them this morning. Obviously, when you're on your job and everybody's laughing at the dirty jokes, you've got to know that the Bible says don't to do that. I mean, that's not something that we're going to entertain as a Christian. So there's so many areas that you could go to. But one of the big ones that I've been on for the last 11 years, because it just seems like in the body of Christ, this happens all the time, is people giving you a face value appreciation and then stabbing you in the back when you turn. Or when they turn. Oh, Pastor, it's good to see you today. And then get in the car and go, man, that guy is, did you see what so-and-so's wearing? When you just went up to them and said, boy, I like your blouse, you liar. Are you pretending? And our kids are seeing this. We're going around. It's not just our kids, the world's seeing it. You can't fool God. He knows if you're pretending in this Christianity deal. But I've been watching this for years. I've been watching people go into God's house. And I'm talking to the church today because the church has got to be the light. We're singing about it. We're praising about it. We're talking about it. And then we're going out there and we're not representing him. We're pretending in too many areas. And what I'm asking you is don't at face value say something to someone like you appreciate them and then go stab them in the back. Here's what I've been talking about, offense. I preach on this probably every week. Why? Because we have a tool that is available, the Word of God, that tells us what to do when things come up in life. The devil has a tool, and it's called offense, and he uses it all the time in the church world. He uses it all the time. People are all the time offended. And so either side of this, here's what I've learned. On either side of offense, if you're the one offending or you're the one receiving, either side, somebody's pretending. Somebody's pretending to be a Christian. I'm talking in the house of God where they're saved. Somebody's pretending here. Well, what do you mean? There's a biblical response to that. There's a biblical way you can handle it. As I was just reading from 1 Corinthians, as I was reading chapter 13, verse 11, that's the love chapter. Children don't always know how to love. Tell them thank you. Tell them you love them. Come on, go tell them I love. And then you get to be an adult and we forget to tell people you love them. Church of today, I don't want you leaving here without knowing I love you. I love you. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because we're on the same team, we serve the same God, and we've got the same ending, and we got to love each other. And if you can't figure it out here, heaven's going to be a long eternity. See, I think about things that we miss. Well, here's the thing about offense, and I teach our young people, I teach our staff all the time, to not walk in offense, not walk in offense. See, well, because if you walk in offense, you're pretending to be something you're not. You can't walk in offense. Offense comes one of two ways. Either someone had an opinion that wasn't yours, or someone has sinned. One of two. If it's an opinion, then what you've got to do is you got to think about what they just said to you, if you're the one receiving. Then, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but answer this question. How many of you have had that offense? You can just feel it start rising up. Someone starts talking and that offense kind of starts coming. Here's what you need to know. If it's an opinion and that offense is rising up, here's what I do. I think, I needed to hear that. Or, bless their heart. Pastor, you're gaining a little weight, aren't you? I needed to hear that. And I can do something about it. But you better just get rid of that offense, big boy. I mean, just self-talk, what are you saying? Or, they're getting old and they've just lost their filter. Bless their heart. How you're responding is either going to ruin things for the cause of Christ or it's going to advance the cause of Christ. If they bring up something that's a sin issue, or if you're dealing with somebody that you know is doing the wrong thing, turn to Matthew 18:15. Matthew 18:15, and we could have talked about 100 areas. This is just the one that I just feel like the devil uses too often, and I'm sick and tired of it. And you reveal the word, let's just destroy the work of the devil. That's what we can do. Come on, we're the church. We just get the word out there and destroy it. If another believer sins against you, if another believer offends you, if another believer sins against you, whatever the case, offense is rising because they have sinned against you. They've said something that's not true, whatever the case is. Yeah, the Bible says not to get in the car and start backstabbing them. If someone sins against you, go to a bunch of other people and start telling how evil those people are. But that's what the devil sends to tell us, that that's what you ought to do. I just need some prayer because of what so-and-so did. Will you pray? That's not anywhere in Scripture. But we got Christians that are pretending to operate Christ-like, but they're not operating biblical. And I don't think you separate, have you heard that? You don't separate Christ from the Word. They're one and the same. So, Matthew 18:15, if another believer sins against you, go, what's that word? Privately. That means you don't talk to anybody else. You go privately to that person. You point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. Now, I like this because here's what you've got to see. If someone sins against you, and then it says you go point out the offense. If someone sins against you, you go point out the offense. The offense was what? The sin, not the opinion. The opinion is, well, what's my response with the opinion? The opinion is, I needed to hear that or bless their heart. See, we've messed this up. Why? Because we're still pretending to be something we're not. And we've got to get to the point where we quit pretending. See, we go to the other person. If the person listens and confesses it, you've won the person back. Let me just not add to Scripture, but tell you what I think about that. That means it's over and the devil can't use it against you anymore. It's a done deal. And we can just go on forward with the cause of Christ. We're not going to hold that. It's a done deal. You've won the person back. That means we're on the same team. We're winners. We're on the same team. We can love each other. We can go forward. But if you're unsuccessful, and that does happen, take one or two others with you. Go back again. And you go back, and everything then can be confirmed, it says, by two or three witnesses. And then, let me just say what happens at that point. It's a done deal, and it's over again. See, that's the second process. The third one is, if they keep opening their mouth, if they keep sinning against you, if they keep doing the wrong thing, then what do? You take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church decision, treat that person as a pagan or corrupt tax collector. For some reason, I've been in church after church, and I have very often never seen this, maybe once or twice, ever go to the last step. I've never seen it. But here's the sad part. Very seldom do I see the first two steps even operated in. Everybody's like, well, I'd hate to get to the third step. You probably won't. Let's just try the first one. See, most people are just caught up, well, I just hate to have to bring it up to everybody. You probably won't. Just go to them privately right now. You know, quit talking behind the, I just don't make any, come on, y'all keep nodding. You can pretend if you need to. I just need your encouragement this morning. Here's the thing. Pastors are up here preaching the word of God. They're doing everything they can to encourage people. But people aren't taking the word because you've not, that's not the first time you've heard this. So why do we have people in the church offended? I mean, I ask that and I go, why? It just doesn't make sense to me. You turn on the news and there's way too many people claiming Christianity but not living it. Every day, people claiming Christianity and not knowing anything about the word. I can turn it on and I can go, you just kind of acted like you were a Christian, but I know the difference. How do you know the difference? The fruit. The real problem with some is that they're pulling it off. They're getting people to believe they are real. They're pretending and no one knows it. They're in church every Sunday. They're nice and sweet, but inside they're bent up and out of shape. You know something today? You may fool everybody else, but you'll never fool God. And you've got to get a hold of that principle today. God knows. God knows. God knows. And my mama used to tell me that. You may fool me, young man, but when you get out and you do, God's standing right there beside you. I'm like, why is that a threat? Not my mom, but I mean, why do we threaten our kids with that? Because we know there's too many people out there that'll pretend. And they'll act like you can go and act however you want on Friday night and be in church on Sunday. I'm not saying give up church on Sunday. I'm saying give up acting like whatever you want on Friday night. Psalms 26:4. As I was looking up scripture associated with this, this scripture hit me and I thought, this is phenomenal. I don't sit with deceitful men, nor I go with pretenders. I won't go with pretenders. I wanted to play the Platters because they have a song called The Great Pretender this morning. And I was going to sing and dance up on the stage, you know, but I thought, no, that's probably not appropriate. But in my opinion, it was okay. So some of y'all are going, bless your heart. That's all right. I get that. He's watching this morning to strengthen you. He's watching this morning what you're doing. He wants to strengthen you. God wants to strengthen you through his word today. He wants to, see, he's always watching it, and it's not always to get you. He's not sitting here wanting to beat you down. He's wanting to cheer you on. God's wanting to encourage you today. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed today. Come on, church. Are you fully committed? Are you fully committed? You can ask yourself, what areas am I acting like a child? What areas am I pretending? Because I've got to grow up and do what God has called me to do. And you do that first in proclamation. You proclaim Jesus. Isn't that what we do? We get saved and we say, Jesus, today I confess you as Lord. Today I confess you as Lord. So we proclaim him. We proclaim him. We come up and we take communion. Why? To proclaim his death until he comes. We proclaim Jesus. It's not just the first day, it's every day. You don't just get saved and then quit. Well, I proclaimed him once when I was 8 years old. No, you proclaim him every day. See, you proclaim him. Second, you proclaim him in your location. Where you're hanging out has to be different once you start proclaiming Jesus. Sundays become significant. Wednesday nights become significant. See, that when the church is doing something, it's significant. Why? Because I know what the Bible says about when the church is getting together. Now, obviously, you can't do everything, but the areas that you can do, you be in. Be in. Be a part. See, you proclaim him. You proclaim him there, and you proclaim him in location. I shared this, and just know that once a month church attendance is not doing what it needs to do for your neighbors who are watching your life. I have story after story I could share, and one of them was my next door neighbor. There was one Sunday that I didn't go to church, and he caught me outside. This is a few years ago. He said, "You're late, aren't you?" "What do you mean?" He goes, "Today's Sunday." You know, you don't get offended when the world acts like the world. I didn't get offended by that, but I remember going in, and my wife and I talked about it. They've watched us every week, and I never paid any attention. I told them what we did, and the one Sunday I didn't go, he happened to. He's watching every Sunday. The world's watching what you're doing. Don't pretend to be a Christian. Don't pretend. Proclamation without dedication is pretending. The third area is in application. What are you doing? You know, a good book or a movie can become more of a priority than the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying I'm all about a good movie a good book. I enjoy them. But they can't get over the things of God. And we live in a world right now where Facebook is coming over the things of God. They are. I mean, the technology we live in, news is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'll find myself looking more at the things going on in this world. And I got to back up and say, whoa, I can't get my priorities out of order here. Because then I start pretending. And when you start pretending, you've got to get back to the source that made you mature. And the Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit and His power that He provides for my life, and the truth is what makes me mature in the things of God. And so today I want to encourage Christian ministries. Praise God for a new building. But let's not pretend we're doing something. Let's be the real deal. Let's be the church. Let's be the church. See, when you are a child and you pretend, people think it's cute. When you say that you go to church and you're a Christian, there are people in the church, there are people in the world that are watching you. Don't let it offend you. Let it empower you. Let it be a responsibility that you take serious, because I'm no longer a kid playing with a toy gun. The guns I have are the real deal. Christianity's the real deal. See, in the skilled nursing facility, I could have pretended to be a nurse, but then I could have killed somebody. I could have hurt somebody bad. If they depend on me to be what I told them I was, then I need to be the real deal and be that. And here's the thing. We are the movement of Christ here on this earth. Knowing that, the responsibility you have to not pretend is giant. You better be in your Word every day, because there'll be something you face that day that needs the Word of God implemented into it. And if you're not full of the Word of God, then you'll be pretending. You'll be pretending. So proclaim. Proclaim from the beginning of salvation to the end of this life as we know it here on earth. But in Christianity, grow up in your maturity. Maturity, be in the right place and do the right thing. Come on, we are the church and we are the real deal. And we're ready to bring the light of God into this world. And church, today we're arising to go out and share and explode His fame, His excitement into a world that needs Him. And we can't pretend anymore. We got to be the real deal. Did y'all get anything out of that today? Y'all stand with me. Thank you for being in God's house. I'm so tired of Christianity getting a bad rap. I'm so tired of that. When I hear someone say they're a Christian and they're not representing Christ, I just have a problem with that. So I am on a mission to get out and encourage, disciple, lead up a world, man, I'm telling you, that needs to present Christ correctly. We got to quit pretending. Now, I'm getting ready to pretend as a granddad, but it's with my grandchild and everybody knows I'm pretending. So when you're out in this world this week, make sure people know you're the real deal. You're the real deal. We're the church. And if we'll all do that, I'm telling you, you'll be building a way bigger building than this, because this won't even hold it all. Just be the deal. Be what God called us to be and bring him to a world that needs to see him. Y'all get that. Come on, let's get that. Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you for it empowering us. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be fake. Lord, I know that many of us, we don't do it intentionally, but sometimes we're just nodding in agreement. But today, I pray not one person nodded just pretending to hear what was said, but they heard you today in a powerful way. And Lord, that I represented your word correctly so that it'll go out and empower us to live a life that presents you correctly to this world. Lord, we're empowered today. And we're thrilled. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd be our truth revealer. You'd give us words when we need words. Lord, that we'd be able to go out and impact this world for you. Thank you for what you're doing in this church, in the life groups and all the ministries. Father, in the church as it's growing as a whole, Lord, I thank you for meeting every need that we have as a church so that we could proclaim you. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless y'all. Have a great day.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.